Now, for you to arise, there's got to be a certain situation that you're arising from. We've had some people who've literally fallen, and they're arising, they're recovering from their falls. And some people who've fallen in faith will need to arise. So various things that we need to arise from. So this is taken from Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60 verses 1 to 3. And the word of the Lord says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising." So let's just put some this into context. The prophet Isaiah was speaking before, earlier on, to a rebellious people. People had rebelled from their God. Disobedient people. So we find many prophecies in earlier chapters of the book of Isaiah where distressing situations were described. Situations of imminent wrath of God, of judgment and of punishment that would come as a result of the disobedience of the children of Israel. So, against this backdrop, God was saying, "Arise and shine." We see in chapter 5, God talks about the vineyard, about how Israel could be compared to a vineyard which had given wild grapes instead of being fruitful. So God was saying, "I am going to take the hedge of this vineyard and let it be destroyed." So that was a terrible indictment, a judgment on his people. He also says in Isaiah 29, "Woe to the city of David, because of how the city of David had rebelled against God." And in Isaiah 29:10, the Lord said, "The Lord has brought over you a deep sleep, and has sealed your eyes and covered your heads," which is when the prophets were not speaking and the seers could not see. So Israel, a nation which was a nation of God, had been forsaken. So this is the backdrop against which God was saying, "Arise." We also see in Isaiah 29, verse 4, it says, "You shall be brought down, you shall speak out of the ground. Your speech shall be low out of the dust, your voice like a medium's out of the ground, and your speech like a whisper out of the dust." So there was no light there. There was darkness. And it is against this backdrop that God is saying to the people of Israel, "Arise and shine." So that's just giving a context to that story. So arise, what is the definition of arise? To arise is to stand up, to get out of a reclining state, to prepare to go, to get up after a fall, to recover from a wound, to come out of a state or a condition, to arise in a hostile manner, as the wall, to make a move, to begin a journey, to awaken, to be posted for battle, or to stir up something. So something arises in you, something is stirred up in you. What is to shine? To shine is to give out light, to glow with reflected light, or you can shine something on on a dark place in order to see in the dark. There's also shining, which talks about our talents, how they shine out when we show them out and we excel. This is the spirit of excellence. So this word arise is a word of action. When people have been passive, when they arise to do something. So arise is an action word which implies that prior to doing this action there was a passiveness or passivity. Arise is a choice. You can decide to stay down, or you can decide to get up. Arise and shine. So what sort of initial situations What is the initial situations we are possibly arising from? You could arise from a fallen state where you're falling morally. It says in Micah 7 verse 8, "Rejoice not over me, my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me." So when you're fallen, you can still get up and arise. The enemy can rejoice for a while, but the Lord your light will deliver you. You can arise from a confused situation. We find in Acts chapter 9, verse 6, this is talking about Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul. When the Lord appeared to him as light, he was so confused and he was trembling and astonished. And he was asking the Lord, "What do you want me to do?" And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do." So you can arise from a situation of confusion. You can arise from a situation of idleness where you've been sitting down doing nothing. And the Lord is saying, "Now it's time to get up and do something." So we find in the same book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 11, it says, "So the Lord said to him," this is to Ananias, "Arise and go in the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying." So he was arising from a situation of idleness and he was being called to do a specific work for the Lord. So we can arise out of a situation of idleness. We can arise from a situation of spiritual slumber. And it says in Ephesians verse 5:14, "This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Now, I've had a personal sort of experience with this verse. When I first became a Christian, the Lord spoke to me and said, "You have been sleepwalking." So all along, when I thought I had it all figured out, the Lord said to me, "You have been sleepwalking." So I had to find out to go back to the Lord and arise. So he says, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on. So we can arise from that situation of spiritual slumber and wake up to see the glory of God. We can arise from a situation of physical ailment or illness. We know the story of the one who was crippled, and Jesus said to him, stand up, pick your mat, and walk. So we can arise from that situation. We can arise from a hopeless situation, a situation that appears dead. We find in Ezekiel 37 verse 10, Ezekiel was asked to prophesy to the dead bones. So he prophesied, and he commanded breath to come into them. These are the dry bones. And they stood up to their feet, an exceeding great army. So all those situations that appear as if they are dead and gone, the Lord can restore that through the spirit of prophecy. His word spoken over a dead situation can make things live again. So we arise from that specific situation. What else do we arise from? We can arise from our burdens. Emotional burdens, we know how relationships work. And some have been broken-hearted. Relationships have broken down, strained. And there is disappointment, bitterness, unforgiveness, loss. Some have lost relatives, and bereavement. The Lord is saying, that shouldn't keep you down. You can arise from that situation. The Lord is saying, arise. Do not let those things hold you back any longer. This coming year is a year to arise and shine. Do not let unforgiveness stop you from shining. Do not let disappointment stop you from shining. Let the glory of the Lord arise, and let the light of the Lord shine in you. We can arise from temperamental burdens, which are fears, cares of this world, worries, despairs, all those kind of burdens. We can arise from them. What do we need to do with all the cares, all the burdens? The Lord says in Psalm 55 verse 22, cast your burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He will never allow or permit the righteous to be moved. I think you need to turn to somebody and say, stop carrying those burdens. Give them to the Lord. Give them to the Lord. Amen? We're not supposed to carry those burdens, children of God. We are not supposed to carry any baggage. Because these are the things that wear us down and stop us there. It's a heavy load on the back that stops us from gaining that posture of confidence and boldness to be able to approach the things of God. So lay aside all weights, every weight that stops you from achieving what God has called you to achieve. You need this side of the year. I ask you, this side of the year, let those things go. You don't need to carry them into 2019. 2019, if you look at the person next to you and say, 2019 is my year to shine. I'm gonna shine. I'm gonna shine in 2019. If you don't want to shine in 2019, that's your business. But as for me, I'm gonna shine in 2019. Because the Lord is saying to me, the Lord is saying to the church, rise up and shine. Children of God, you are children of the light, not children of darkness. Let that light shine in you. Cast away your burdens. So in Matthew 11:28, it says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Any of you taking up that offer? I'm taking up that offer. I'm giving my cares to the Lord. I'm giving my burdens to the Lord. I don't want anything holding me back from rising up in 1920 to shine. Because the Lord is saying, as darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people, he wants his people to shine. Say it again. My time to shine. My time to shine. Now say it like you mean it. My time to shine. My time to shine. Tell your neighbor, you watch me shine. You watch me shine. Yes. Hallelujah. You see, when the glory of the Lord rises upon you, you have no choice but to shine. It doesn't matter what situation you're in. Remember the children of Israel. They were dejected. They were forsaken. They had broken the laws of God. The one that they sinned against is mighty. But when God said to them, you know, now is your time to shine. That was an instruction, that was a command. So it's a command from the Lord for us to shine. Amen? So why do we shine anyway? Why do we shine? We are called to shine so as to overcome the darkness that covers the earth. It says in Isaiah 60, verse 2, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. Friends, the era that we're moving towards, we are told not to be ignorant of the times. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse out there. Darkness will cover the earth. Confusion will cover the earth. The people that are supposed to have solutions, the governments, the international organizations, will have no solutions. Because God wants to prove that he is God. God cannot be mocked. So in this coming years, darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But how about you? Will you be swept away with that darkness? Will you be part of the darkness? Or will you be the solution, the answer that Christ calls you to be the light of the world? You choose for yourself. Do you want to be swept away by the darkness? Do you want to be swept away by what's going on in the world? Or are you going to stand up, arise, and shine? So this is the thing. This is why we're called to shine. Because whenever there is darkness, God brings light. Let's look into Genesis 1, verse 2 to 3. It says, the earth was void and without form. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. When there is darkness, God commands light. From the beginning, He does not want that darkness to consume the world. But guess what? There is an enemy out there who is the prince of darkness. So He is introducing His darkness into the world. But guess what? God has a plan, and He is raising up children of light to shine the light into a dying world. That is where you come in. That's why you've got to shine. I think you need to speak to your neighbor again to say, that's why I've got to shine. That's why I've got to shine. Yeah, I've got to shine. There's a lot of darkness out there, and it's got to get worse. So I've got to shine. I've got to shine. And it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 15, you're the light of the world. This is something we know well. But I want you to understand what it means. You, say I am the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. You say, I am a city on a hill. I cannot be hidden. So, neither do people light up a lamp and put it under a basket. You can't keep your light down. You've got to shine. You've got to shine. Instead, they set it on a lampstand, so it gives light to everyone in the house. So, we are supposed to be children of light and be full of that light, so that as we go into the world, we shine out that light. This is a dying world, so that we shine out that light. And really, the church is the solution to the world's problems. Is the solution to the world's problems. So, we've got to rise up and take our place. We've got to rise up and shine. Well, it's all very well saying we will shine. But how do we shine? So, we find in Matthew 5 verse 16, it says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works. So there is some good works prepared for us that we must get on with, that we must do. I'm not preaching a gospel of works, but I'm saying that the Lord has commanded us to do some good stuff, some good things. To show goodness, to show mercy, to show grace, to show kindness, to show a helping hand, to show compassion, to show love. All those things the Lord has called us for. And as we do these good works, this will glorify our Father in heaven. How do we shine? We shine by staying in the presence of our Lord. We read the story of Moses in Exodus 34 verse 29. Now it was so that when Moses came from Mount Sinai, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked to him. So as you stay in the presence of the Lord, the glory of the Lord rubs on you, and you will shine. You will shine. He will transform you. He will make you beautiful. Sometimes people will come to you and they will say, I can't put my finger, but there's something about you. There's something about you. The way you do things, the way you approach every situation, you're always calm. I don't know, how do you do it? the Lord is working on you. The Lord is transforming you. The Lord is making His light shine on you. So we need to be those people that stay in the presence of the Lord so we can shine. Because He's calling us to shine. In the book of Daniel, chapter 13, verse 3, it says, those who are wise will shine with the brightness of heavens, of the heavens. And those who lead many to righteousness like stars forever and ever. So again, evangelism, going out, leading many to righteousness. That kind of shining is not just for this part, this side of eternity. It says forever. It's like an eternal reward. When you bring many to righteousness, you shall shine. When you're wise, you shall shine. But talking about light, we have to be conscious or be aware. We need to be aware that according to 2 Corinthians verse 11-14, it says, no wonder Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. But you've heard about the stars of this world. The stars, the so-called stars, you see them. And they shine, but they're not really following God. Where do they get their glory from? We know that the enemy will give a false light and will cause people to rise up into prominent positions, but with the doctrine of demons, preaching heresies. And these become role models, leading many astray. The enemy always wants to imitate what God is doing. So we need to be aware of who we make our role models. That's just a note of caution. But that's not our business. Our business is to get close to the true light that comes from heaven. The light that we spoke about on Christmas. The light that came into the world. The true light that gives light to all men. Amen. So, there are some practical things with shining. We find that we spoke in the definition, we spoke about talents, that the talents will shine as you excel in your God-given talent. You see, your God-given talent is really something that should open doors for you. If you use your talent well, it will open doors to kings, to the presence of kings. It says in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 4, but as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness and in love for you, see that you excel in grace also. So we are called to excel in all things. At your job, you're called to excel. As Christians, we should be the light. We shouldn't be the ones that are always late, always not doing the work right, always associated with not meeting targets. If you're such kind of a Christian, who can you witness to? So we've got to seek the spirit of excellency in everything we do, because our God is an excellent God, and He equips us. It says in Proverbs 22, verse 29, "Do you see a skillful man in his work?" Now, that's not to say it's all about man and a woman. He will stand before kings. So if you're skillful in your work, regardless of what your work is, you will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. When the spirit of excellence comes upon you, it will elevate you. Think of Joseph. Joseph carried that spirit of excellency, and he didn't wait to go to become a prime minister before exercising that spirit, that excellent spirit. He was excellent in the prison. They knew about him in the prison, and he got his promotion. He was excellent in Potiphar's house, and he was an excellent prime minister. So wherever you are, let the spirit of excellence rest on you. Whether you're sweeping in the streets, whether you work in a kitchen, that does not stop you from showing that excellent spirit. Think of Joseph. It says as well in 1 Samuel 16, verse 18, "I see Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is a skillful musician, a mighty man of valor, a warrior." David, I've seen a son of Jesse. Yeah. So David went to the palace because of his skill, how he played the music. That opened doors for him because he did it skillfully. Turn to the person next to you and say, "You need the spirit of excellency. You need the spirit of excellence in whatever you do. You might be sweeping, you still need it." So we see, this is the story I was talking about. In Genesis, all through Joseph's life, he encountered adversities, but he prevailed. He served with excellency, and the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for his sake. So when you serve with excellency, the Lord will bless nations for your sake. The Lord will bless your workplace for your sake. Your workplace will not shut down in a recession because of you and because of the spirit of excellence. It says the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. We go to the book of Daniel, we hear that then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents, the princes, because of an excellent spirit that was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. When you have an excellent spirit, the king will think to set you over the whole realm because of the spirit of excellence. We hear also of in 1 Kings 10 verse 1, that when the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relationship to the Lord, when she came to test him with hard questions. So the queen of Sheba heard about what Solomon, his relationship to the Lord was. And that's when people start to come to you. When they see an excellent spirit And they, when they see your relationship with the Lord, they'll start to say, hang on, how do you do it? How come you stay so calm when I used to get accused of being too laid back when I was a teacher? Because Ofsted will come in, which is the inspectors, and I'll be like, as normal as I am. And people are rushing around, and I'm just calm because I know God is in charge of everything that concerns me. So I got accused of being laid back. But people will start to wonder and say, how come you're so calm and when the storms of life are raging, how come you're so? Then they start to ask you the hard questions. And then that is your opportunity to witness. Because guess what? As Pastor has always said, for some people, the only Bible they will read is you. So we should be careful how we conduct ourselves, and we should have that excellent spirit. And it says that the Gentiles shall come to thy light. We see the Queen of Sheba coming to Solomon, to the light of Solomon, to the wisdom of Solomon, because Solomon had a relationship with the Lord. Now let me just leave you with some sort of practical ways in which we can arise and shine. So this coming year, no matter how negative your past or present may be, God can make you shine. Because it is God who is commanding you to arise and shine. It doesn't depend on your situation. It doesn't depend on your circumstances. It depends on the glory of the Lord which is shining upon you. And when God says yes, no one can say no. The matter is settled. The other thing we need to do is to stay in the presence of the Lord, who is the true light and who gives light to all men, so that His glory may transform you and that His light can shine through you. We also need to take a stand for integrity in the workplace, in business, in the world. We need to challenge some things. The church has been so quiet on issues that affect the world. Let's not rock the boat so darkness continues to prosper. But we should take a stand. Even when persecution comes, It's better to be persecuted for doing the will of God than for anything else. In fact, it's a badge of honor to be persecuted for doing the will of God. So let your deeds shine in the workplace, in business, wherever you are. Let your deeds shine. Now, lastly, pursue an excellent spirit. When you pursue an excellent spirit, it'll create a platform for you. Have you seen those musicians, or when they win their Grammys? Some of them are not sincere, but there are some that are sincere, and they'll say, well, I want to thank the Lord Jesus. Who's going to stop you from saying that? When you use your platform, imagine if we had presidents who knew the Lord. So through the spirit of excellency, a platform can be created for you to share the gospel. Praise the Lord, and may the glory of the Lord shine upon you in 2019. Amen.
Right, let's pursue the spirit of excellence. That's what God wants us where we are to be. Right, and yes, have a blessed week ahead. Look forward to see you on Monday, tomorrow. Yes, at 11 o'clock.